If you're struggling to attract new staff or your team is experiencing burnout, pick up your phone and call Guardian Vets. Through virtual team solutions like after-hour triage, daytime virtual receptionists, callbacks, and telemedicine, Guardian Vets can help you have happy staff, happy clients, and a thriving business. Go to www.guardianvets.com and check Veterinary Success Podcast in the Where Did You Hear About Us section to get a free consultation and receive 50% off your first month of service. Don't wait. Check out guardianvets.com now.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Veterinary Success Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Douglas, and I'm excited that you're here. And with that, we're going to jump into this week's podcast here in just a second. We're going to hit up our sponsors that help make the show possible. There's lots of companies that I believe in that I think help veterinarians across the board, whether it's find a job, hire talent, become more efficient in their practice, all those things, right? So these sponsors mean a ton to me. So I know a lot of people will fast forward or skip through them. But if and when you're looking for help and some of the solutions they offer, I would highly, highly encourage you to check them out. And so with that, no further ado, jump into the ads and we'll get right into the show. So thank you for listening and enjoy. We all know as a practice owner, one of the last things you want to think about is tax planning and strategizing for your practice. In addition, the long list of tasks on your radar, it's really hard to do everything. You have to find a trustworthy team of experts that understands the unique and specific needs within veterinary medicine. My suggestion would be my friends at Granite Peak Associates. Granite Peak is an advanced tax planning and veterinary practice advisory firm who has spent many years working within VetMed. Their team works year-round to make sure you're able to maximize your profitability while also minimizing your liabilities. Whether you're in the process of purchasing a practice, looking to grow your practice, or transitioning towards the sale of your practice, they are the experts to help guide you through. What makes them different than other firms is their devotion to proactive tax planning. By thinking into the future and creating long-lasting relationships with their clients, Granite Peak can help minimize the amount of taxes paid over the course of many years to come. Head over to their website, granitepeakcpa.com, to receive a personalized comparison of your practice financials against over 140 other hospitals that they've worked with. You'll be able to see how your practice ranks, where you stack up, and where the opportunities are to get better. From there, you can schedule a one-on-one call with one of the members of their team to review and analyze your results. The opportunity speaks for itself. You need someone on your side. Granite Peak Associates is that team. Take advantage of their innovative expertise within the veterinary industry.
If you're struggling to attract new staff or your team is experiencing burnout, pick up your phone and call Guardian Vets. Through virtual team solutions like after-hour triage, daytime virtual receptionists, callbacks, and telemedicine, Guardian Vets can help you have happy staff, happy clients, and a thriving business. Go to www.guardianvets.com and check Veterinary Success Podcast in the Where Did You Hear About Us section to get a free consultation and receive 50% off your first month of service. Don't wait. Check out guardianvets.com now.
Finding a job or finding a veterinarian shouldn't be a waste of time. Enter an Offer First. Paul Diaz and team have created something really special with Offer First. Some of my favorite reasons are as follows. Candidates and employers will both have values aligned on the first step, not the last. The sign-up process, quick and simple, no resume required. So if you're looking for a job, but you aren't really sure, it's as easy as scrolling on Zillow for a home. And finally, if you have a great match, it's based on your each unique requirements, not random keywords. If you want to learn more, listen to episode 179 with Paul Diaz. We cover all of that. The other exclusive great thing that you're going to get from this ad read and from Paul is I convinced him to give an exclusive discount to listeners of this podcast. So for owners, you're getting a 20% discount on both the placement of any candidate, but also access to the platform. Use VSP if you go to Offer First, or the easiest way is a link in the show notes. So check it out. Associates, those looking for a job, same thing. Use the link in the show notes. Use VSP if you go directly to Offer First. But I will donate and Paul will donate to a veterinary nonprofit of your choosing. So each person that signs up gets a vote. Your votes actually count, which is incredible. And so I'll be reaching out. I will handle that. But there's going to be a donation made for any associate or any job seeker that adds on the platform. We want to make sure that not only does the platform help to make sure that you find a better fit, better culture, better role, but it's also doing good in veterinary medicine. Okay, so link in the show notes is going to take you to Offer First. It's going to automatically apply that, but also use code VSP if you go to Offer First directly. and OfferFirst is changing the game of veterinary recruiting. I want each and every one of you to benefit from it, so check them out today. Discover the nation's fastest growing practice management software. Who, you might ask? It's my friends at Shepherd Veterinary Software. Founded by a practicing veterinarian, Shepherd is easy to learn and works the way you work. Shepherd automatically updates the medical records, adds services to the invoice, generates discard instructions, and so much more. It's time to bring home more stories and less stress. Learn more today at www.shepherd.vet. All right. Welcome back. Excited for today's conversation. Going to get back into some personal finance, kind of investing, and just kind of back into conversations that I used to have quite a bit that I maybe haven't chatted on this podcast as much. But I think everyone either is interested in it or is looking into it or thinking about it over time, and it does impact you. And so that's why I really wanted to dive in, chat through things. And what I'm going to highly encourage is that you head over to YouTube and watch this, because I'm going to share my screen a lot and kind of walk through different sites, different things, because I do think it's important. And before we do that, just to make sure it's worth your time, we're going to talk about the FIRE movement and kind of dig in a little bit there. And I know that's been a hot topic for a number of years, and we will be able to get into it. So the first thing is the idea of FIRE. And I think most people understand what FIRE is, but we'll cover it again. I know it's a hot topic in vet med. It's a hot topic in lots of spaces. And basically the idea is, hey, why wait till you're old and gray to kind of get to the point where you can do the things that you want to do, right? FIRE stands for financial independence and then retire early. And I think you need to divide those, because I think getting financial independence doesn't always mean that you're going to retire early. And that's a big part of, I think, a misunderstanding with FIRE is that, hey, because Mr. Money Mustache, who is a famous person, super frugal living, retired super early, and just does his thing. He didn't want to work, hated his job, all that. I think the key thing is the financial independence allows you to go do the thing that you want to do. Let's say even if it makes you a lot less money, you can get to a point where you're financially independent. That I love. The retire early, basically just to retire because you dislike a job, I think that's a mistake. And I was actually just at the men's group that I go to, and one of the guys was talking about one of his good friends that had rode motorcycles for a long time, and he retired from AT&T in early 50 and hates everything now, super depressed, struggling, didn't like his job, but he had a lot of it, his identity through it, paid him well. He had a pension, all this other stuff, financially fine, just doesn't know what he wants to do with life and is lost, very, very lost. So it goes back to the idea of, if you're going to retire early, what do you have your identity connected to? And if your identity is, I'm an awesome veterinarian and I do this work and this is who I am and that's all I am, you will have some really big challenges of just mentally being okay with where you're at, because you don't have that thing that you are. When people ask, hey, what do you do, Isaiah? If I can't say, hey, I'm this veterinarian at this awesome practice, this is what I do, but now I'm like, well, I'm retired. So okay, what do you do to spend your time? Well, you know, I golf or I do this, and I don't really love golf, but you know, whatever it is that you do, there are plenty of things that people can find passions in. But I would just highly, highly encourage you not to wrap up your identity in your work. And I think that's really important, especially within vet med, because so much of your time, energy, blood, sweat, and tears for so long was to get there. And then it is so much part of your identity for so many years that once you quote unquote make it, it's hard, and to walk away from that is tricky. But big thing is with FIRE is extreme savings rates, which I don't think anyone should ever harp on and give a negative vibe for people that just want to save money and not spend it on frivolous, stupid crap. That's great. I think the idea should be intentional savings, extreme savings, however you want to do it, but it allows you to get to freedom and flexibility before. My issue with FIRE, I'll kind of bring up later on, it is not with the whole concept of getting to the point where you're financially in a good spot, you're saving, you're not spending a bunch of money on things that you don't need. So with that, what's interesting is, so this is a site called How to FIRE. I just was Googling, there's 41 best FIRE blogs, which I thought was hilarious because it's not that complex, right? And I get that everyone's gonna have their own take, but the idea of FIRE, there's not a ton of nuance. And what I noticed as I went through these, the first one is obviously their own. They're gonna tell you they're number one. And then it's Mr. Money Mustache, and then it's Choose FI, and all these different places and things that are through here. Physician on FIRE, I'm going to actually show here in a second. But most of these FIRE blogs, what they do now is they're, you know, financially independent. This is their own business that they do. And there's so many affiliate links. And that just made me laugh, because what they're basically doing is monetizing other people who want to get to where they're at by writing a lot of the same content that everyone else in the space writes. And so it is, to me, it feels very incestuous. And there's not a lot of insight that one person is going to give you that another one isn't, candidly. Everyone has their own unique story, but a lot of this stuff is the exact same advice. Hey, buy Vanguard funds. Don't spend money. Keep your fees low from investing. Fire a financial advisor. You don't need this. You don't need that. Hey, this is a credit card hack. This is a travel hack. Those are good things, but a lot of it is just repeated over and over again to grow these websites. And I saw a couple of them, they actually had sold their website to like some other media brand because it had become an affiliate and an income stream for these folks. And so it's just important to know, like, the FIRE movement has become something that's been monetized and it's changed from what it used to be. It used to be, hey, get to financial independence. Now is, I'm going to tell you how I got there. You should do the exact same thing because everyone's the same, right? I'm saying that in jest, right? But then it's, how do we monetize people that want to read our stuff? And that's ending up where you get here. So with that, one of the folks that was interesting is the White Coat Investor. And he's not as much a FIRE person. I think he has the makings of FIRE, but has very, very strong opinions. And one of the most interesting things is they have some huge, huge pieces on Bitcoin and like broader crypto. And I think Jim Dale, who runs White Coat Investor, still doesn't understand the difference at times, and he'll tell you he does. But if you read either content he's written or his takes on some of these blogs, it's very clear he doesn't. But there are a ton of awesome resources in White Coat Investor. I've always said that. It's similar to Dave Ramsey. 90%+ of what is put out here is fantastic. But again, the same thing. He has monetized this to a T on recommended financial advisors. And I know how much those cost, or at least what they used to cost to get recommended and go through the process. There's a lot of affiliate links, all these different things, courses. That is how folks have monetized it. And again, the information is great. You are just being monetized as you go through. Physician on Fire, I think, is a good one because it does come from human health, but it is something that comes back to understanding student loans, understanding the life of a doctor and some of the different things. What I thought was really cool and I wanted to show and point out is they have this Calculate My Fire and an Advanced Fire calculator. Really helpful. I think it's cool. But this is an issue that I have is when you think about FIRE, what they will tell you is if I want to spend, let's say, $15,000 a month and I've already saved $20,000 or $200,000 and I calculate my FIRE, it's telling me, hey, you need $4.5 million because it's a 4% annual withdrawal rate. That 4% number, there's been studies and research done on that. It is not a hard and fast rule, but it is taken in the FIRE community as like, hey, that will always hold true because, hey, it was run. And if you were owning stocks and bonds and you did this through even the Great Depression, it would work. And there's just so many assumptions that the past is going to be what happens in the future, which I don't necessarily think holds true. And there's a lot of things that have changed. And I struggle with saying like, hey, it's always 4%. Now, there are folks that will talk about in FIRE like, hey, these guardrails, or each year you can take a percentage, and there's bands like, hey, you can take out more this year because your performance was good or less. And I think that's a more appropriate way to attack it. But just remember, simplistic rules of thumb are simplistic and they're not perfect. This is an easy way to get a number though. And it probably is going to scare you to death to see the number. And it's like, okay, I need to save $4.5 million more dollars to reach your FIRE goal. That seems really hard and really unobtainable. And I think part of that is the way that the FIRE community tells folks to save and or invest in some of the information. And so if you read any of these, they will always have an investing portion. So investing, if I go here into the White Coat Investor, there's always going to be an investing piece of the forum. If I go back to the FIRE blog here, the invest, there's always going to be investing stuff, right? It all boils down to three critical factors. What do you make? What do you save? And how are you investing? And what assumptions do you have? So another one of the bigger FIRE blogs is Financial Samurai. And I thought this was an interesting one that was written fairly recently. It's how I invest $250,000 in today's market. And it's interesting because I think the advice actually is very bad and not great. And it's based on how he would invest it. But again, you're going to have people read this and they're going to take it as something that they should do. And I think it's a very different approach.
And the biggest thing is 50% of his holdings are in treasury bonds, which treasury bonds have been absolutely beaten up and done terrible. And so this idea that bonds are safe money is a misnomer, but the FIRE community will tell you, and if you read all the different literature on Bogleheads and the FIRE movement, which are kind of one and the same in my mind, a lot of times it is, hey, you need to have a portion of bonds. As you get older, more bonds, more bonds, more bonds. And they'll make statements around, hey, look at the yield, 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 yield. But what they miss is the fact that inflation and the money itself is getting devalued at a high enough rate where you are net losing money by holding treasury bonds. And treasury bonds have hurt. You know, if you look at over the last 10 years, last 3 years, last 5 years, they have lost money. They have not been a balance to the equity side of the portfolio. And if you read a lot of these blogs, what they'll tell you is, well, fees matter so much. And I agree, fees do matter, right? Fees are something you can control. But they will say, well, you can't go out and own these other things because that's expensive. That's this or that. Well, the expense of a fund, or I'll even say an advisor, right? I have no dog in this fight anymore, but let's even say an advisor. But if they are able to manage assets in a way that actually protect yourself in all kinds of environments, not just this deflationary kind of growth period that had been from, call it 2009 to 2019, 2020 forward, we've come into a different paradigm. And the fact that people still think, hey, I can just buy and hold bonds and that's going to keep up and be a good ballast to the equity side or the stocks that I hold, it is just simply not true. And I continue to see people hit this drum. But holding bonds in the next decade is a get poor, slow, and sometimes fast strategy. So can you hold some bonds? Yes. What you should be holding are not treasury bonds. You need to be holding extremely short duration, short-term bonds that pay a higher yield. So today you can own an ETF that's going to pay you almost 6% and it's 40 days of duration, which means if interest rates go up, down, whatever, they go down and down really fast. Yes, that yield gets reset after that 40 days. So you don't get to keep that interest rate as far. But if interest rates continue to rise or they stay the same level, that hurts long duration bonds, this treasury bonds. And you will see a net loss of holding that. Short duration, you will be making money. It is like a step outside of cash. And so bonds, again, they're supposed to be the stability and or the safe money. So why take the risk by owning treasury bonds? I just don't think this is very wise. 50% of the cash holdings, that has been a terrible move for someone. So holding 125,000 out of the 250 in treasury bonds, just a bad idea. The other ones, stocks only 15%. I think that is probably a little light. But again, that's for his specific situation. And I guess he has money that he feels like he can just have it melting away as the money is broken. And you hear me say like, hey, the money is broken. Hey, the money is broken. Hey, the money is broken. I've said that lots of times in talking about Bitcoin and these other elements of just personal finance. That's what makes it so difficult. That's why private equity, that's why venture capital, that's why it's coming into vet med. That's why it's so expensive to buy a house. It's why these things happen. And it's not unique to veterinary medicine. It's just the money itself is broken. That is something that I believe that there's a solution to, but ultimately the best book or the best resource to, I think, really get into this is Lynn Alden's book, Broken Money. And she's done some podcasts. I would encourage you to just type in Lynn Alden, Broken Money. You can have her explain to you why it's broken. It talks about Bitcoin in the book a little bit, but a lot of it is just historical understanding of money and why and how it breaks and why we're going through that again and why the money is fundamentally broken today. I like how he says stocks seem fully valued. Stocks have been fully valued / overvalued since I got to Merrill Lynch in 2015, just so everyone knows, right? Stocks, they're always going to be overvalued. They're always going to be blah, 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 right? At the end of the day, you are forced into owning some version of overvalued stocks because that is really your only option. And I know that isn't really great unless you're going to go through and pick individual equities in areas that are beaten up and hated and you have a longer term horizon. But if you're buying index funds, yes, they're going to be overvalued for the most part. He talks about venture capital. Venture capital has been really smacked around. I don't really love the idea of getting venture capital in the way that he looks at this. Most people aren't going to be able to get good venture capital. And I say good being, if you're able to allocate to a fund that has some sort of venture capital, by the time it gets to you and me, the good venture capital investing is gone, right? So this is not going to be something that's going to be giving you good returns from that standpoint. Talks about, you know, investing in artificial intelligence. It's kind of a niche-y thematic play. I don't really love thematic plays. And then real estate, 20% of cash holdings. I think if you own actual real estate, and I've had folks on like owning actual real estate with tax benefits, I think it makes a ton of sense. These ideas, and again, you'll see it here where it's investing like Fundrise or single family homes through these aggregation tools, they're not great. I don't like it. I don't think that's the way to do it. And ultimately, you don't get the same benefits. So I talked about money being broken. And I'm going to show a quick chart here, which is central bank balance sheets. This is the Federal Reserve, and I can show you like global central banks. But if you look at, think of the blue line is the S&P 500. The red line is the amount of Fed assets. And when I think about Fed assets, it is not a perfect one-to-one, but this is the amount of devaluation basically to the money. So higher amount of money, more devaluation. And what you see is the S&P is going to basically track what the Fed assets do over time. Not perfectly, but pretty darn close, especially when you get in periods of stress. So you look at 2020, you look at the Great Financial Crisis in 2008, and you look at 2018 here, rolling off, and then it starts to come back up as you see it through. And so what happens is the S&P is going to react to liquidity. And when money is like faucet on, it does really well. And when you take the faucet away or the cheap and easy credit and easy money, it goes down typically. That's what you've seen, right? So 2022, you see that action. And I think it's important when you think about the money itself, right? Over time, if I look at M2 money supply in the United States, since 2000, it's gone up about 4.5 times. And so the question is, have your investments, has your income gone up 4.5 times since then? And for some folks like myself, I wasn't actively working in 2000, right? I graduated and came into the workforce in 2012 and was working obviously a little bit before that while in college. But yeah, like, are you keeping up with the amount of new money coming into the marketplace? Because that is what is competing for your goods and services that you want, right? That's the things that you want. The reason they're getting more expensive is because there's more money sloshing around and chasing it. And it is devaluing the money that you've saved in your bank account. And you're asking, why can I not save up for this thing? That's why, because everyone is looking for a store of value or a way to protect purchasing power into the future. And so this all kind of got kicked off with this FIRE movement, right? And so it does connect because the FIRE movement is saying, hey, 4% of your assets, and you need to own a simplistic allocation of stocks and bonds. And Trey Sellers put out this piece, and he's a Bitcoiner, and it says, Bitcoin can shorten your path to FIRE. I completely agree. I've seen it personally. FIRE practitioners usually use a 4% withdrawal rate for their financial independence number. And that means basically you need $1 million for every 40K that you want annual expenses. It assumes a 9% average nominal return in the stock market. And he says Bitcoin will grow in a much faster way than the stock market, given its asymmetric potential. Understand, completely agree. He says, assuming a conservative 20% annualized return, Bitcoin's done significantly more than that historically and even recently. And I think 20% actually is very conservative from that standpoint. But if you just use a 20% annualized return, that pulls forward so much of that financial independence. And so what Bitcoin can do is it actually can allow you to get to that financial independence so much sooner, which is why I harp on it and encourage people to own some. And it's not a all or nothing. It can be a portion of. And I think that's what is really sad when I go back to, you know, like the white coat investor who has a lot of followers, has a lot of people that hook, line, and sinker believe everything he says. And again, great information for the vast majority of what he provides. Terrible Bitcoin takes, just does not get it. Part of it is he has made money in a way and been very successful. So why change it? Because he's not needed that. What I'm saying is today, some of the rules and the way that people have made money historically, depending on where you're at today, will not be the same things that make money into the future. And some will, but Bitcoin is one of those tools that says, hey, this is one of those things that allows you to really take a step forward and make a difference. And so you even have some people underneath in this Stephen Bonebreak, who I have no idea who he is. It's like, hey, I was a student and practitioner of FIRE. Eventually learned about Bitcoin, hit my FIRE number 15 years sooner than I anticipated with traditional financial investments. And that is really cool. And that is what I look at Bitcoin being freedom money is because it allows you to do that. And the reason that I feel confident in saying that is if I go back to the expansion of the money supply, what Bitcoin is it soaks up that excess liquidity because it is a finite, scarce asset. And it allows when you create more money, and especially like in 2020, 2021, when a lot of money was created, it will react to that and protect you and be over and above what the devaluation of the money is. And so if we look at the 3-fund portfolio, and if you go to the Boglehead site, it's basically going to tell you you should own the Vanguard Stock Market Fund, International Stock Market Fund, and Bond Market Fund. Well, if we just do a quick analysis of VTI, BND, VXUS, and do basically a 60-40 portfolio, right? Since April 2015, that's given you something around a 7-ish percent return. Well, if you added a 2%, 2.5% allocation to Bitcoin, again, that's going back to that date, Yes, you can cherry pick dates. You can pick dates that you want better. This was one that I felt like wasn't starting so early when Bitcoin would just blow it out of the water, but also gives you a lot of data. And you rebalance annually. You're not just buying it and holding it forever, but you almost double your return at a 2.5% allocation to Bitcoin, which is not taking a lot from your traditional assets. And what that does is it's not adding a lot more risk. The risk is basically the same. But what you get is, when you think about Sharpe ratio, which is a jargony term for each unit of additional risk, I need to get return for it. And so higher number is better. And you go from 0.46 to 0.7. A 5% allocation goes to 0.8. 10% goes to almost 1. Bitcoin itself is 1.22, which is significantly better than the stock market. If you look at the bond market here over this time frame, again, like I said, losing money slowly, it's giving you about a 1% return. That is way, way, way under inflation, right? Way under inflation. So you have lost money. This is the boat anchor to your portfolio. And so if I'm under the age of 40, I have to ask, why in God's green earth would I ever want to own bonds? It is just a spot that's going to suck it away from you, and it adds additional risk. So what I want to try to get through is the idea of FIRE, I think, is a really good idea. I love the idea of saying, I'm going to be conscious about how I spend. I want to have an above average savings rate, because we know Americans don't save great, and lots of people don't save great. If you are only able to save a certain amount, and it's a struggle because costs are going up, some of that savings should be pointed towards Bitcoin, because what it does is it unlocks things quicker. And before you just say, hey, Isaiah, there's no mathematical calculations or these different things. And again, I like these kind of, and I even like the advanced FIRE calculator that Physician on FIRE provides. You can do a lot of extra stuff in there, which is pretty cool. But there's a, and it's funny because the Bitcoin ecosystem, they're going to do different things, but it says when moon, basically, hey, when I have Bitcoin, when can I retire? And this is a notebook, and this is a calculator that someone created. Is it perfect? No. Am I going to say, hey, this is gospel in that whatever you put in here, it's going to happen. But what it says is, how much Bitcoin do you own? How much is your desired income in dollars? What is the annual USD supply increase, which is the inflation? He runs it at 12%, and he has all the data as to show you why. And then there is some modeling on basically the depreciation or the debasement of the currency. And so over the different lookback periods, you can see what the devaluation, and this is M2, right? So as I showed up here, M2, he looks at it, and this is, again, a 12% over 4 years, 12% over five, and a part of that is because of 2020 and 2021. And if you go over 12, it's 8, so it's a little bit less. But that is really important to understand how much the growth of the S&P is based on just what the devaluation of the dollar, which is kind of what I'm trying to show here. Part of why the S&P goes up is because the dollar loses value. That's it. And people will say, well, these stocks are accruing value and they're creating these products and I'm just in the economic engine by owning the stock market. And that is true. But if you go under the hood, most of the companies in the S&P or in these index funds don't make money, are not making money, are not profitable, don't do stuff. And the top 5 to 10 companies drive all the performance anyways. Those are the things that drive it. So you're really owning 500 things to really get the 10 that work. And that's part of the claim is I don't know which 10 it is. And I'm not claiming that I have this magic crystal ball that's going to tell you the right 10, but just know that most of what you own is not a great asset. And most of them lose money. Longboard Investment Management showed in a study like 2/3 of stocks never make more than like cash returns. They don't do well. It's a risky thing to run a business and have a profitable business that is a publicly traded equity. And so this is a great tool that has a ton of data. And again, I go to things like this where you can actually get into the math and the equations. Or I can go here and say, well, it's 4%, right? And again, I look at Bitcoin as a great tool to allow FIRE to work better. And I go back to Trey's thoughts. It pulls the financial independence part of what you're shooting for forward. And that's pretty special. And I don't think, whether you like Bitcoin or not, think of it as a tool to help you get to the point where you can live life on your terms. And you can own Bitcoin in a lot of different ways. And I'm going to link in the show notes, right? I work at Swan. I think Swan is an awesome place to own Bitcoin. We do a great job with education. It's going to be something that I will continue to harp on, because Bitcoin today is about $64,000. If Bitcoin tomorrow was $200,000, this does not change what I'm encouraging people to look at. Bitcoin is not a trade of I'm going to make some money over a couple of years. This is something that if you consistently save it and you're a long-term investor, just like with VTI or something else, be a long-term investor and it will help you get to the point where you can see your financial independence number come a lot closer. And you can do it the hard way, or you can use better tools. And it's the idea of, well, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to push mow my 3-acre lot. I don't have a 3-acre lot, right? Just full disclosure. But, or I could get a riding lawnmower and I'd be done in a lot of time. Or, hey, I'll get a zero turn. You are trying to push mow to get financial independence if you were only going to own stocks and bonds. You are going to get a lot of help, get some extra hands, and maybe a riding lawnmower if you own Bitcoin, right? That is the easiest way for me to explain this and show you. It's just a better tool. And so you can try to do things the old way and keep thinking like, man, I'm never going to be able to retire, or this is going to take a long time, or just own some Bitcoin. It's super easy. You can own Bitcoin in retirement accounts. You can own it in non-retirement accounts. It is not difficult to get started. And right now with Swan, if you go and buy Bitcoin, the first $10,000 that you buy is at no fee. You can onboard in less than 5 minutes. It is extremely easy to buy Bitcoin. And I would just highly encourage people to, if you haven't looked at it, look at it. If you want resources, reach out to me, Isaiah at veterinarysuccesspodcast.com or Isaiah at Swan Bitcoin. I will send you tons of good research. Welcome to Bitcoin is a great tool that Swan put out as well. There is lots and lots and lots of data. And so if you're going to spend the time to read 41 fire blogs that basically repeat and regurgitate the same thing, replace one of them and go learn about Bitcoin. And so that's my encouragement today, is it's not a massive change. I think a 5 to 10% allocation of Bitcoin can move that financial independence number a lot closer to today and hopefully give you and your family freedom and flexibility. And I think ultimately that's the goal and the dream. So with that, excited about some of the guests that are coming up. We have some good things, some big announcements coming, and appreciate you all for tuning in. Thanks for listening to today's show. The comments made on today's show should not be taken as investment, tax, or legal advice. All comments are for educational purposes only. However, you are intelligent enough to make decisions for yourself. So I do encourage you to dig in, learn for yourself, and not just outsource every decision that you make. You should talk to your professional team if you have one before implementing anything that I talk about, but also make sure they know what they're talking about. Push them, question them. That's healthy. That's okay. Oh yeah, and you should probably own and learn a little bit about that Bitcoin thing. The biggest compliment you can give to me is to share the show with a friend or the podcast if there's another episode that you really like. That helps folks find it. That helps it grow. Reviews are critical. The Apple Podcast is the platform that's predominantly used for how people find the show. So if you have 3 minutes, love the show, please head over. Give us 5 stars if you believe that's what we earned. That would help more people find the show. Also, if you're new, go to YouTube. It's a channel. Putting up all the videos there as well. Sometimes it's going to be more interactive. Other times it's just going to be the conversation. So vainly, I want to get 100 subscribers so I get the vanity URL. That's the goal. We're on our way, but not quite there yet. For all of today's links, information, head over to veterinariansuccesspodcast.com. There you can also subscribe via your favorite podcast platform so you won't miss any episodes in the future. And finally, if you'd like more information, insights, or have the ability for your voice to be heard, join the Facebook group. You can search for the Veterinarian Success Podcast on Facebook, or head over to veterinariansuccesspodcast.com, scroll to the bottom, about your host, click on the Facebook icon. And thanks again for listening. I appreciate you. All right. So there are a lot of great job postings that I want to get to. And so we're going to start off with Bayside Hospital for Animals. Great work-life balance in beautiful Fort Walton Beach, Florida. No weekends, Monday to Friday, 8 to 5, no on-call or emergencies. It's appointment only here. Currently a 2.5 doctor practice, new owner in 2021, bringing some fresh life into the hospital. The new owner had been there for 6 years prior working, so definitely understands the team, the processes, and the community. Lots of investment in people and new equipment. ProSal is the pay structure. Far too many benefits for me to list. Email baysidevet251@yahoo.com or call 850-864-1857. Join a thriving, growing small animal practice in Vermont on the Quebec border. Full-time ideal, part-time is considered. The idea is to start with yes with the team, patients, and clients in outdoor woman's paradise while being able to practice high-quality medicine. Compensation is write your own structure within production capabilities. Literally, it is the owner wants to find the right person and is happy to negotiate, chat through, and find the right fit. If you want autonomy and a boss that enjoys teaching, reach out to Newport Veterinary Hospital. You can email newportveterinaryhospital@gmail.com. North Central Indiana, looking for an oasis in the chaos? Who isn't, right? Come join the amazing team at Fulton County Veterinary Clinic. They strive to foster a fun, fast-paced work environment while providing quality patient care.
they utilize the support staff efficiently so that the doctor is available to practice medicine and do what you're trained to do in less time on paperwork, which is great. Lots of investment in new equipment and technology to support you, full-time or part-time available. Small animal and exotics are both seen there, so no ER, no on-call, no weekends, competitive salary with sign-on bonus offered, and far too many benefits to list. Go to Fulton County Veterinary Clinic. So type that in and you'll find the job posting there. Last but not least, join Watertown Animal Hospital. Personable, small animal veterinarian wanted for well-established current five-doctor mixed animal practice in northern New York, which is an outdoors person's paradise. Again, two of those. So if you like the outdoors, you can look at Vermont or New York. They have plenty of support staff with six CSRs, six licensed technicians, four animal caretakers, two technical assistants, hospital assistant, a practice manager, and a bookkeeper. Focuses on mentorship and investment on the people and the technology. That's been a strategic initiative by the leadership team. No on-call, 24-hour ER less than an hour away. Salary based on experience, but no less than $95,000. Can be straight salary, pro-sal considered. Want to discuss that with the right person. Tons of benefits. Again, too much to list. Please reach out to watertownpetcare.com for that option as well. So again, if you find a role or a job or talk to anyone and it helps you in any way, I would love to hear that feedback. So please reach out. Let me know what you're able to do. And I will continue to post these. So if you are an owner, reach out to me, let me know. And we'll go from there. And until I hit a capacity of I can't keep recording these, I want to let people know who are high quality owners around the country looking for great help. So with that, we'll talk soon.